Hello again, and welcome back to another week of 7.5 tons
he says
of nonsense.
Again.
Shut up, Zach!
Because Dave's got the boss chair this week, and when he pressed record...
It didn't work.
We had a good, 3 minutes before he was like, hold on, I don't think this is recording. But anyway, carry
it
on.
It is definitely recording now. I can see a time thing.
Woo!
But yeah, this is 7.5 tons of nonsense, although we are just a 7 this
week.
Yeah,
we're lacking our 0.5.
Yep, he's off doing things and stuff.
He's in Cork this weekend.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He is being Irish and stuff.
Yeah.
But as always, I am Dave. I'm 3.5 tons of murderous intent. Yeah, I came up with one.
Yeah, good. We didn't have one in the first show.
And this is...
I'm Zach, and I'm 3.5 tons of dyscalculus.
Woo!
The joke kind of falls flat this time.
Yeah, because, you know, there was no...
Ah, fuck it.
Oh, well, it doesn't matter.
Woo!
This week, we couldn't think of anything new, so we're going to talk about our favorite albums of all time.
Because we've essentially turned into a games and music show.
Yeah.
Which, to be honest, is essentially our interest.
We could talk about films, but fuck that.
Yeah.
Because fuck films. We could talk about actual art, because but fuck that.
Yeah, but fuck that.
But fuck it! I could make a gay joke, but fuck it. Nah. Anyway. So, you can give that whole spiel about... you know,
oh, yeah. So, as I was doing one of my essays a couple of weeks ago, I found out that there's a site, it's called topsters.top50.de, catchy.
Yeah.
And it basically gives you, it allows you, it has this database of albums, and you basically, it wants you to pick your top 4 albums of all time. And then, it calls it second tier classics. And then other favorites. And basically, that's what we're going to do this week, essentially, except we're probably going to focus on the top 4, because that's 50 albums each. And that's a lot of albums.
I couldn't even get 50.
Yeah,
even know 50 albums.
You got well, it's not that you don't know 50 albums, I think it's you just don't know 50 albums that you actually would listen to. Yeah. It's okay, I like this one song.
I could fill up the last 13 with, no, that's what I call music, 1 through 13.
The early ones were pretty good. I once had Now That's What I Call Music 2000. I listened the shit out of that.
Oh, did you?
It had Celebrate Good Times Come On.
Oh, I had that album.
Did you?
Yes.
That was such a bad album.
It also had, if I remember correctly, it also had D-I-S-C-O on it.
Yes, yes, it did. Oh man, that was such a good album.
It was.
I got it at a car boot sale for 4p or something. It was really good.
Can't remember where I got it, but I did listen to that album quite a lot.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's weird. We're far too alike, Dave.
Yes, we are.
Anyway, we are going to talk about our albums of all time, because we were going to do albums of the year, but Dave doesn't know any albums that came out this year.
I know one.
Death is the Only One. And
I suppose there's that Green
Day. There's all the albums that we talked about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where I probably could have a more decisive list, but...
Yes.
But we're gonna go much broader than that and stick with a lifetime spectrum.
That makes sense. So do you want to start us off?
Will I start?
Yeah, that makes sense. You are the most music.
I am the most music. Okay, well, should we go? We'll go in reverse order.
Ooh. Fourth from the top.
So fourth from the top. So my fourth from the top is System of a Down, Mesmerize. And I mean, it pains me to put that there, because I mean, anybody who knows me knows I'm the biggest System of a Down freak in the world.
It is. It's retarded.
It's retarded as balls. I have an appointment booked on December the 6th to start my System of a Down themed tattoo sleeve. For years and years on end, I wore this one System of a Down jumper. The only reason I don't have it is because my ex-girlfriend now has it.
Killer, get a bug.
I might. what else? Oh yeah, I have a System of a Down canvas that my sister painted for my recent birthday.
It's in our living room. Yeah. Our living room is now incredibly metal.
Metal! Yeah, I did some arts and crafts.
It used to be very not metal. It had pictures of landscapes
horses
and stuff. But now it has pictures of System of a Down and Job for a Cowboy.
Woo!
An excellently framed picture of Job for a Cowboy.
Right.
Well done,
Zach. I took a poster and had to fold it. It's the most arts and crafts I've been in years. Ooh, damn. I'm going to quit my English degree and become a framer.
Professional PI / framer.
Anyway, so the thing I feel about System of a Down that stands out about other artists, in a general, the reason they're popular is because for me they have 3 solid 10 out of 10 albums. Mesmerize, Toxicity, and The Self-Titled.
Yeah.
And even still, this album is ballin'.
It is.
But, like, it's not as ballin' for me. It's not 10 out of 10, but they have three solid 10 out of 10 albums.
Yeah.
And still, this album, Hypnotize, are both still very good albums. But Mesmerize, it's just like, they came off... Basically, their last proper album was essentially Toxicity, seeing as still this album was Offcuts.
Yeah.
And, like, old songs. But it was just such, like, a blast of everything that made them amazing. I mean, you've got the heaviest songs, like, in stuff like BYOB and Cigaro. And you've got the lighter side in Lost in Hollywood and stuff like that. And then you have the super skanks in Radio Video, which I pissed everyone at Download 2009 off by skanking in a space that is actually smaller than the space I generally take up on a daily basis. And it, like, every track on there stands out. It took me a while to warm up to Revenger. It's the only track that it took me a while to...
Really? That's one of the first System of a Down songs that I ever heard. Really? Revenger. And I love it. It's awesome.
I just didn't. When I was listening to it, in the context of the album, it sits between BYOB and Cigaro, and I was like...
I suppose that's like a bit of a lull.
It's a hard sandwich to take, because realistically, like, those songs are amazing. So,
yeah.
For me, it's a solid 10 out of 10 album. I mean, it's got everything you could ever want from, you know, it's got your mosh moments and your sing-along moments and...
Nice.
Like...
Smart.
You know, it literally pains me to put it at fourth. It genuinely does.
It hurts your heart.
Yeah.
My heart. Nice.
So I'll pass. Wait a minute, because if you're going to put what I think you're going to put at number four, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's my number two. So maybe you should swap your two and four around just and say that these are,
yeah,
but we
no,
can
fine.
Discuss them
that
at the same
fine,
time.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, okay, so you should probably go for...
Yeah, the album that I have, well, the album that I had at number four, I'm obviously not going to speak of just yet, but we'll cover that in the fullness of time.
Yeah.
My number four instead will be Onto the Locust by Machine Head.
Good album.
Locust, as it's known, which is the first Machine Head album I ever heard. Courtesy of my co-presenter here, Zach.
This guy!
Who brought it into our house when we were living in...
Most excitedly.
He was so happy. And after a while, we all were so happy. Because it is an amazing album. I'm obviously not very music. And I don't really know that much of Machine Head's back catalogue, bar one or two albums. But it's just excellent. I mean, it works so well. Everything on it is... It's just nice.
It is, yeah.
It's just nice. And even even the bonus tracks are awesome. Well, Witch Hunt's not great, but...
I can't say I've ever, actually, because you downloaded the Super Special Edition, didn't you?
Downloaded.
Totally legally.
Off boughtalbums.com. What I bought with money.
I actually own a copy of Under the Locust.
So do I. I own it on vinyl.
Really?
Yeah. I got it for my birthday.
Oh, fuck. That's pretty tight.
Yeah, it's really good.
Congratulations. Thanks. I own a compact disc copy.
Ooh. But the special edition tracks are awesome. This Sentinel, the Judas Priest cover is amazing.
Ah, right, okay.
And the acoustic.
Acoustic Darkness Within.
Yeah, which is my favorite song of that album.
It is a very good song.
Not the acoustic version.
Like the Rubble Over version?
The Props.
Because the one
version.
That super, like, gets into massive beatdowns later on.
It's incredible.
Really is.
It just, everything on that album just fits together so nicely. I mean, there's no breaks in that where I'd be like, you know what, I don't really like this song. I'm not a huge fan of it. Every song's just
yeah,
like...
it took me a while. Like, the only, if I was to ever give any kind of complaint about it, is that Pearls Before the Swine takes a while to warm up for me. Like,
okay, yeah.
The second half of Pearls Before the Swine is so much better than the first half. When it, like...
I can give you that, yes.
And, like, goes absolutely nuts, and I'm just like... And then that bit at the end, dun, 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 and I'm like,
damn,
get out. And it's actually self-produced.
Is it really?
Yeah, Rob Flynn produces all their albums.
Well, damn.
And he also, for the intro of This Is The End, he spent months doing classical guitar lessons.
Really?
Because, like, he's always been a good guitarist, but, like, he wanted to have a proper background to, like, make sure this was right.
Well, shit.
Yeah, like, he really went overboard on this album. That's why it took, their previous album, The Blackening, that came out in 2007, and then Onto the Locust in 2011, and it's quite a big gap.
Yeah.
And there was a big kind of pressure to follow it up, because The Blackening was like, solidly balling. Received everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, I know some people who don't like it, but they're generally wrong.
Yeah, obviously.
They're generally the kind of people who just don't like the genre of, like, they call it red-blooded metal.
Yeah.
Like, kind of like, you fit in with, like, Lamb of God and Devil Driver and stuff like that.
And then you kill them.
Then you kill them, yeah. But it was like, big pressure to follow it up, and boy.
Yeah.
I think I couldn't place a favorite song on there, I don't think.
Really?
I think I love I Am Hell. I think I would have to go with I Am Hell.
Fair enough.
The opening track, I Am Hell.
Good shot.
Is very, very good. I also really like Who We Are.
Yeah, mainly, it's a really good album, Mander.
Yeah, mainly because of Adam Deuce's backing vocals. Like, that's the bassist who does the, you know, this and yeah. this and the second bit. Well, like, I think his backing vocals are really balling on that. And obviously, as a bassist, his bass lines are insane. But we should probably move on.
Yes, we probably should, so I'll...
What's my number 3? Oh, yeah. My number 3 is one you probably wouldn't have heard of. I'm an elite. It's a
hipster.
It's called Volume 1 Solar Plexus by The Empire Shall Fall. And it's the band of Jesse Leach, former and current Killswitch Engage singer, and his kind of friends from Boston. You've definitely heard it in the house. It's basically like it's only a five. There's four songs and three interludes on it, but like every song is ridiculous. Like packs such a huge like it's such a soulful album, and like you know without getting too like mushy about it, it's just really like cathartic. It's one of the albums that you listen to and like you genuinely have like it's one of the few albums I have a genuine like emotional attachment and investment in.
Fair enough.
Like everything else, like I really enjoy, but I don't have any kind of attachment beside the fact that I want to punch the guy next to me. Whereas, like you know, The Empire Shall Fall, just that album, it came at a really good time, and like it just fits so nicely. Like this is that's what that is on my arm. The album artwork tattooed on my arm.
Very nice.
That's what that is. Like it's just fucking boss. Jesse Leach is my favorite metal singer by far, and I fangirl over that quite. Extensively. Oh yeah, I do. I really do. Like the only reason that wasn't my album of the year last year was because Unto the Locust, and it came out one day before my album of the year list had to be in. So
really?
Yeah. This is when I still did journalism and whatnot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately, fortunately Jesse Leach joined Killswitch Engage because I like that, but unfortunately, he didn't. He means that the Empire Shall Fall, their stuff has been like pushed quite far back because it's part of like a 3-part concept shit.
Makes sense. I know.
So that's mine.
Okay, that's cool.
I would recommend you listen to it or even buy it because it's only like $6 or something.
Not bad. I might actually give that a listen. I've probably heard it before.
You've definitely heard it.
But I might.
I'll play it this evening maybe.
Ooh, might chuck it on download. My 3 is Pump Up the Valium by NoFX.
Yes.
Whenever we sat down and we did the whole 50 albums thing, Zach did obviously one separate and I did one. I didn't get to 50 albums, but I had 37. Now, of the 37 albums, I had 4 NoFX albums. They are officially
like
my
favorite
band of all time.
Yeah, I had 2.
There you go. Just kind of it reflects just how similar and terrifying we are, Zach.
No.
But every song, I think... I love pretty much every NoFX album that I've ever heard, but I think this one just sums them up, in my opinion.
They have such, like, it does have fantastic. It's Filthy Phil Philanthropist on there. So good.
Sweet xylophone intro. Ding, 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 ding. But every track on there is fantastic. I mean, NoFX, in my opinion, get a lot of shit for selling out and becoming this kind of weird sort of. They have band with like a motive and or like a
yeah like a, they have a political they have a, yeah like, an agenda leanings, yeah especially with the war on terrorism
and Wolves as well it's really political but it brings together all of just the stupid shit
it was just before they became that kind of descendant. I wouldn't say descendant because yeah their albums are still good but yeah, like this before they started politicizing a lot of their music. This is just like there's a song on there called "My Vagina," about getting a sex change, and like there's fucking "The Pharmacist's Daughter," which is about being in a relationship with somebody because they give you drugs. She got my love, I get the drugs.
Yeah, quality.
And theme from a NoFX album
is an awesome. Yeah, it's just
like,
so fantastic.
They basically just sing about themselves because they're like, by this point they're like pushing 40 years old, and they're like, yeah, we're getting pretty old, but whatever.
We can still drink.
Yeah, the thing about NoFX is that they are the most successful independent band of all time.
Yeah, because I mean, what
they've got, like, I don't even know how many albums they have.
Yeah,
like they started in 1983.
Sick amount, yeah.
And so, like, it's nearly 30 years they've been going, and like, they've never been on a major record label.
No,
they've been on Epitaph, but that's still an independent, it's an indie label.
Yeah,
and most of the time they're on Fat Wreck, which is their own. So. They are the most successful independent band of all time, and it's just, you can't ignore that. Like, I'm pretty sure they're allowed to be a bit political when they're essentially at the top of their game.
What was it? Wolves had that 60% song,
yeah,
which is just them fucking everyone off,
yeah,
because they're like, yeah, we're independent, we can do whatever. Like, fuck you,
die,
flip the bird,
yeah, but
suck my balls.
My NoFX albums that I picked above Pump Up the Volume were White Trash, Two Heaves and a Bean,
yeah,
and So Long and Thanks for All the Shoes.
Excellent album.
White Trash was just the one I heard first,
yeah.
And So Long and Thanks for All the Shoes is just amazing.
Any album with Ethan Meek on it.
Yeah, White Trash is actually quite downbeat when I listen to it now. It's actually not that happy.
I haven't heard it in a very long time.
When you compare it to other stuff, it's actually quite downbeat. But anyway, we should probably move on.
Yeah, so not your number two.
It's our number two.
Oh, yes, I forgot. It is.
We switched around
to
make it so, but our number two is Machine Head's The Blackening. Second Machine Head mention here, and... you know,
pretty much let you take the reins on this one because you know much more about the album.
Yeah,
and the band.
I mean,
The
Blackening was how much time do we have left? I'm interested.
Oh, we're 16 minutes in. So
oh, 14. Yeah, all right, that's fine. The Blackening.
Let's not use all of the 14 minutes though.
On The Blackening. it's a really interesting album because it was Machine Head's like almost their like mission statement, because like 1994 was Burn My Eyes, their first album, and. They were fairly successful. Like, that still regard... A lot of people still regard that as their, like, superior album. And it's almost impossible to compare to The Blackening because they're, like, totally different bands.
Really?
Yeah, like... have you ever listened to Davidian, the one that's, like, Let Freedom Ring with a Shotgun Blast?
Yes.
That's off Burn My Eyes. They're, like, different bands. Essentially, like, they still have that same ethos, but, like, realistically, they sound very different. Obviously, it's 13 years apart, so...
Yeah. Can't really blame them.
But they had a few albums after that. They had The Burning Red. They had The More Things Change and then The Burning Red. And then they did Supercharger. And like... No. I think we try and ignore it. Like, I own every Machine Head album bar Supercharger. And like, Supercharger, if you mention it to a metal fan, they'll probably just laugh at you. Because it's basically like Machine Head went new metal. And they have a song called White Knuckle Blackout. And fucking, like, there's a song that starts off with a monkey howl. And, like, it's just a bad album. There is one good song on Supercharger.
Really?
Bulldozer. Bulldozer is intense. But apart from that, it's a shit album. Like, it really is. And I basically saw them, like, completely die as a band for a while. They got dropped by their record label worldwide, and so they were starting to send out like packages, to other record labels. They even sent a thing to Serge Tankian's record label, Surgical Strike, and he just straight up out of hand it said no. And like basically, what they wanted was more radio friendly songs. There's this really good anecdote of Rob Flynn's where they did a song called Pins and Needles, which was essentially like Disturbed style radio rock. And he said afterwards he went outside and vomited when he finished the vocal tracks because he was so like upset with himself for doing it. And so they were essentially a three-piece because their guitarist Aru Luster left, and they were a three-piece writing this next album, which was to be Through the Ashes of Empires.
Good album.
And then they came back with that. Roadrunner accepted them again, and they got their album released in the UK and Europe, but it still took them months to release in America, which is why Seasons Wither is a thing.
Yeah.
Because that was released on the American release.
Yes.
But then 3 years after that, The Blackening came, and it was just like so perfect. Like, there's nothing I can say bad about The Blackening.
No, there is not a bad track in The Blackening.
Not a, there's nothing I can say. The first song I ever heard of Machine Head was Aesthetics of Hate. And, like, good, I put that on my headphones and fucking nearly died. I mean, it's ridiculous. Aesthetics of Hate itself is one of the fastest, most aggressive tracks I've ever heard outside of Slayer. And, like, like, the first song, Clenching the Fist of Descent, gives me chills. Like, it's the only song that's ever made me kind of go, ugh. And fucking, like, Halo. I mean, anybody who's ever seen Machine Head live will have seen them play Halo. And the first time it kicks into that riff, I was just like, like, it's just... it's just a monster of an album. Like, it swings and fucking brutalizes. It's heavy and it's fucking, it's melodic, you know, and it does everything you want from a modern metal album. Like, there's no other modern metal album that will ever touch that, in my opinion. It's essentially like, you know, most of the generation before us, they had Master of Puppets, where we got The Blackening. And, you know, people will hate The Blackening for the same reason people hate Master of Puppets, because they're like, oh my god, it's not, you know, fucking 95 minutes long, and it doesn't have stupid time signatures, and those... oh, shit.
Now it's like, now we have to edit.
But apart from that, for me, it's a perfect album.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree. Specifically the Sweet Deluxe Edition, because damn.
Yeah.
Because that's where I first heard Seasons with her.
Yeah.
I love that song.
I made you play it on audio, so.
You did?
Yeah, the Deluxe Edition I actually own somewhere.
You do? You think you lent it to Dara?
I lent it to Dara, yeah. Hi, Dara.
Fuck you.
Give me my fucking Machine Head albums back. Yeah, but yeah, it's like a 3-disc, like almost leather, faux leather bound dish. Yeah, it's so nice. Anyway,
yeah.
So we should move on.
Yes, we should.
To your, we'll go with yours because I just talked a lot.
So. Okay, that makes sense. My number one album of all,
totally
bestest
out of,
album,
totally out of the blue.
Time, yeah, is Paul Simon's Graceland,
which like is a fantastic album. But in like the way we've been so far, it's like metal, punk, metal. Graceland.
Woo! They like, well, I say the only reason, that they have the primary reason that it's my favorite album of all time, because it's fucking amazing. It's a brilliant album.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Literally nothing can touch it, in my opinion. It's just, it's so, it's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
probably Say Bubbly, yeah.
Bubbly Say, that is not Paul Simon.
I don't, it's very similar. It was on Matilda, and so was some stuff from Graceland.
It's by Rusted Root. A weird hippie band.
Oh god, yeah.
But it is, yes, very similar to Bubbly Say with his sweet hippie rock.
Yeah.
But I don't, nothing, that album's just, the whole, like, the inspiration that it took, yeah, from African culture and all that crazy shit with Ladysmith Black Mambazo,
yeah,
on there, it's just, it works.
It's just got works. Such good, it was the first album to ever receive a 5 out of 5 rating from Q magazine.
Well, you actually know something about it, well done.
Yeah.
I don't. I just like it.
Yeah, no, I was reading Q's like 10th anniversary or 20th anniversary. I don't even know. Old.
Yeah.
Q are old. I think old. It's 20th anniversary. And Graceland was there first.
Well, there you go.
10 out of 10 album. It's 5 out of 5, I think it was.
It's boss.
But yeah, it's boss.
It is.
Even, like, my mom used to play Graceland a lot, and so it's like been ingrained within my, like,
yeah, it was also one of my formative albums.
Yeah, it was my, like, dad used to, yeah, play it a lot. Yeah.
That and Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah.
Bastard.
King of the Bruce. King of the Juice. Okay, so to clean up,
yeah,
my top album, inevitably, is System of a Down, self-titled. If I say The Blackening's a perfect album, System of a Down is my perfect album. Like, it was basically my formative album. My sister gave it to me on an MP3 player. She actually gave me Jet Pilot from Toxicity, but months, like a year earlier, my dad had given it to me because I'd asked him for a fucking, like, a Darius album or something, and he'd stuck on this MP3 disc with metal on it and stuck the self-titled System of a Down one. I was like, sure, I have that album, and stuck and put it on my MP3 player and was like, what?
This isn't Darius.
Oh my god. Like, after I'd heard Jet Pilot, I was just like, and since that was essentially like my soundtrack to like the ages of 13 to 15, and then
I mean, I could go on about it all day. I really could.
Yeah.
It's, but I don't have that much time.
No.
Like, my favorite song changes daily. It was, you know, I absolutely love War, because it's heavy as balls, and that War was my gateway into heavier music, because I was like, I like that because it's heavy, and I was like, well, why don't I try something similar?
Makes sense.
And then, you know, like, Mind is fucking 7 minutes of sweet bass and huge dirty screams, and you've got fucking, like, the crazy stuff like D-Devil and Darts and Q-Butt. Then they're just like the absolute tunes like No and Pluck and Soil.
Yeah.
I could go on about it all day, but honestly, if you've never heard that album, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, if you even like music, you should at least try and listen to all of the albums we've mentioned.
Yeah.
Because they're good albums regardless of your music taste.
That's true.
The fact is that half of Dave's top four wouldn't be there if he hadn't have had an open mind and listened to the stuff I was playing in the house.
True.
And not just ignored it.
Yep.
So the same could happen for you if you
join us.
Give those albums a listen. Even if you only listen to one track off each, try it. You will not regret it, I promise.
Yep, that is true. We've got like 4 minutes.
Yeah, but we want to put Arseful Chips on.
Yeah, but at the same time, how long are any of their songs?
That's true.
So we've got like...
We can introduce them.
Yeah, so, that makes sense. I'll let you start off, considering you saw them live, and you were the introduction to Arseful Chips.
There we go.
As always.
I went to Nottingham, and I was going to go see Real Big Fish, but instead we went to the Downstairs show, which was a band called Arseful of Chips. And they basically have these hilarious like pop culture songs. Basically, they're a band, and there's this like fucking guy on guitar, guy on trumpet, guy on drums, guy on bass.
Guy getting his dick
and
out.
A guy who runs around, gets his dick out. And I will further explain it, but I guess you can imagine. He literally gets naked, hangs buckets off his penis, gets shocked by electric fly swatters and stuff. And it's fucking hilarious.
Yep.
And so to totally lower the tone, I'm going to play some Arseful of Chips.
Yay! Should probably do our traditional sign out before.
Oh, definitely. You can get going if you
okay,
like.
Okay. Well, one. Na 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 na. Woo! Okay, that's us.
Yay! Nice.
Love music.
Love music.
Hate racism.
Hate racism.
We've all got freedom of speech, but hate the BMP or else. Love music.
Love music.
Hate racism.
Hate racism.
You are free to choose unless you choose the EDL. And I'm not saying I condone racism. In fact, I think it's fucking wrong. But you can't stop racists by singing a fucking song. I love music. I'm not a fan of racism. But to group the two together is just wrong. Because if you love music, you have to hate racism. But I'm sure even Adolf Hitler had a favourite song. Oh, hello Hitler, how are you?
It be not too bad, but me no like Jews.
Oh, come on mate, you can't say that. Have you heard Bob Marley, have you heard Take That?
No, I haven't, but I am very racist.
Have you not even heard of Blur or Oasis? Well, check this out, Hitler, I found the cure with this catchy song. You'll be racist no more. Love music.
Love music.
Hate racism.
Hate racism.
We've all got freedom of speech, but hate the BMP or else. Love music.
Love music.
Hate racism.
Hate racism.
You are free to choose unless you choose the EDL. And I'm not saying I condone racism. In fact, I think it's fucking wrong. But you can't stop racists by singing a fucking song. So if you are racist, you're not allowed to like music. Like Nick Griffin's new guitar, he doesn't even use it. He chooses his life, he chooses this way. But did you know he's a big fan of Coldplay? Like Hitler's a fan of Chumbawamba. The EDL listened to Samantha Mumba. The KKK took my baby away. They fucking love the Ramones and they love... love David Gray. Love music.
Love music.
Hate racism.
Hate racism.
We've all got freedom of speech, but hate the BNP or else.